Intervju Radija Študent.
Lep pozdrav Terminu za Ereš intervju. Danes ste z mano v studiju skladatelj in performer Marko Siciliani. Izprenonsko rekli?
Yes, Siciliani. Siciliani.
Siciliani. Ter nemška violinistka Barbara Lüneburg. Zvečer ob Lüneburg, izdaj tako?
Lüneburg.
Lüneburg, ok. Torej zvečer ob 21. jo lahko vidite in slišite v menzi pri koritu, na to pa še jutri ob 20. na glavnem trgu v Mariboru. Zdaj bomo pa pač začeli z intervjujem. So Marko, you performed here in Slovenia before?
Yes.
And this is maybe Barbara your first time here?
This is my first time here. Mm-hmm.
Did Marko tell you something about Slovenia maybe? Some nice things or maybe some not so nice things?
Well, actually,
only nice things.
He was here in Ljubljana and he told me he was just completely excited. He loved the public and he loved just the whole atmosphere here and the concerts and it was really nice.
Can you maybe tell us, Marko, about your musical background for the beginning?
Yes, well, my musical background is classical, you could say. I studied classical composition, and since my childhood I was playing classical piano, but also I always had a strong interest in popular culture. I was playing in bands as a teenager. And when I started studying composition, of course, the more conventional, traditional way of composing was put in the foreground. But my other interest again and again came back to the surface. And I think what characterizes my work nowadays is to find a balance between these different influences that I find
you
important.
Said you played as a teenager in bands. What sort of music was that?
It was
a bit more avant-garde, or was it just
in the beginning it was very conventional pop music stuff. It was like a typical school band. And then gradually I moved into more experimental fields, so in the end I was playing in a kind of art rock setting.
So do you remember maybe at what time did you decide to be a composer, or what triggered that decision to become a composer?
Well, you know, the funny thing is that I wanted to become a composer for a very long time, and I just wasn't completely aware of the form that it should take. And also while I was switching from one band to another during my teenager years, I was constantly looking for more experimental forms of music, sorts of music that would allow me to try out more experimental things. And although I had all the classical training, I wasn't really aware of the avant-garde tradition of composers in Europe and the United States. And once I was finally introduced to that, it was perfectly clear to me that that's what I was looking for. And I was at about 18 when that happened.
So pretty soon. So Barbara, can you tell us about your background? You're from a classical background, and it's quite an ordinary, especially here in Slovenia, for musicians with classical education to start doing this more open music. So when did this interest come about in your case?
I think with me it is so that the interest came from the very beginning. When I was 9 years old, I went to a concert with my mother. It was Bartok string quartets, and I loved it so much. And then I begged her to go the next night also, because they did the other three string quartets by Bartok. And also in school orchestra, I loved these graphic scores where you could do on the violin whatever you wanted to do, and just the play dirty stuff and I don't know what, the scream, whatever. And I just loved it a lot. And but I always had the classical background. I learned everything, like scales and double stops and Mozart and Bach and Paganini and Tchaikovsky. And I also remember I was still at school when we went to another city with my music course and listened to a concert by Stockhausen, and I was just blown away completely. And when I came from this concert, I was just nobody could talk to me, because I was really, there was something, a miracle to me to listen to this music. And so it happened that also during my student years, I was close to the composers and to the composition department, and they always grabbed me to do all the world premieres. And actually, only after my studies, I really went into this region of contemporary music very much. And I think I just like this aliveness there, and I like that I have contact with living composers, and I like the sound world, and it's just different from the classic world, and it's not that old, and it's mm-hmm. fresh.
Mm-hmm. Because it's quite, especially here in Slovenia, the perception of this field you're both in, that is quite a small field. I mean, we barely have a scene here. So when I saw you last November in All Frontiers, you played with jazz and improv musicians. So do you feel that you fit in that context?
That was really funny because 10 minutes before my set started, I phoned Marco and said him, well, you know, I'm at the wrong place, in the wrong breath, with the wrong music, and I have really no idea what I'm doing here. And then he just said, well, just go on stage and do what you ever do and present it the way you like to do it, and it's just what you love doing. So I just went on stage and I just thought, like a friend told me once, freeze them or burn them. Just went on with my program, and then immediately I felt that I could reach the audience, although the audience was a completely different one. It was more from improvising, but somehow I could grab their attention, and it seemed to me they liked it, and then I really liked it as well.
Because maybe it's not so much problem of the audience, because all the musicians that played there were quite advanced in their music, so maybe that's a common thing between all of you who performed there, but the musicians themselves, and jazz musicians and improv musicians, are the sort of clique for themselves.
Yeah.
Do you feel that they let musicians with other backgrounds in this circle of theirs?
Usually not, but I think this is that's Tullio, who manages this festival. He says All Frontiers, so he wants everything there, and he just has people who come from improvisation, and he has different kinds of improvisation, and then I don't know how he stumbled across my website or whatever, who made him attend of that, but I think he likes to dare something, and this is why he invited me, and I think that's a good way to introduce people to contemporary music, because then I just take them by surprise in a way.
So yeah. Much of this presenting this music to the audience depends on individuals.
I think so, yeah, and it also depends on the passion with which you perform the music, and if you are not convinced as a composer or performer, then how should you ever convince your public? But if you like what you're doing, if you love it, then it might be good.
Marco, so how do you feel about these gaps in contemporary music between these various fields? Do you feel they're getting smaller nowadays?
It depends where. I remember I moved to the Netherlands 13 years ago, and one of the reasons was that I didn't really feel at ease with how the music scene was in Germany at that time. I found it too separated in the classical composition and the pop or the jazz, and these were like worlds, and each world pretended as if the other worlds wouldn't exist at all. And this has changed quite a bit today. So in Germany, things have changed. In Holland, things were different from the beginning on. But I think the tendency is that the gap is closing. But it is still there. And I think If you look for a sort of consistent thread throughout my music, because the different musics I've written are partly very, very different, and but I think what you can recognize in almost all my pieces is that in one way or another I'm trying to bridge some sorts of gaps, and I think that's something what was always very important to me personally.
You have some experience in United States as well. How is this music perceived there?
Well, in the United States are again a slightly different case, because I think there is, again, it depends on what you're looking at. I used to study in New York, but now I also spend some time in Los Angeles, and again, the West is very different than the East. But I think that there is quite a huge audience that is just very curious to anything, but So there is a potential audience, but very often the scenes are very splintered, and mm-hmm. often one scene doesn't know about the other, and that's mm-hmm. also mm-hmm. The same for the audience. Then it's in a way, my feeling is that it's difficult to really reach the people on a somewhat broader band. And then when you look at the academia, there you could say that the separation is even bigger. Because you have new music ensembles that are, to a large extent, active only on university campuses. Mm-hmm. And there, I think it's you have some really surprisingly conservative things still happening. Mm-hmm. But then again, it totally differs from university to university. You have very advanced universities like CalArts or Mills College, and then you have extremely conservative ones too. And mm-hmm. So it's in a way difficult to say clearly what's happening in the States. Mm-hmm. I think it very much differs from place to place.
Mm-hmm. So in your experience, Holland is still the country the most advanced in this kind of music?
It depends, I think, what you look at. I mean, definitely there is still quite some money in Holland, which flows into the scene, into the different scenes. And if you look at Amsterdam, for example, or Den Haag, there are people coming from all over the world to Holland because they know there are opportunities and they know there is a public for different sorts of music. And then you find all these foreigners like us living in Holland who just try their best to find a new gap and to define their music and to set up a series. And then you find all these different layers of music there. And sometimes they meet and so they influence each other, and that's so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say, personally, I wouldn't say that one is above the other. I think Holland or Germany or the United States, they all have their own character in a way, and mm-hmm. it's very nice that every country preserves that. So I wouldn't really want to put one above the other, but of mm-hmm. course, certain things are easier to realize in one place than another. Mm-hmm.
But the attitude, again, is different in Holland. For example, if you, I'm a German, and in Germany, at the conservatories, it's very, very, very conservative, like mm-hmm. the name says. And they try to educate violinists and viola player for orchestra, but they don't like them, actually, to play contemporary music because they think, yeah, if somebody has to play contemporary music, then probably he can't play or she can't play the violin. I find that really a horrible attitude because you can't really come to the contemporaries. Whereas in Holland, it is completely normal that the best players also play contemporary music and that they're interested in mm-hmm. that. So this is something I like, especially like about Holland, this mm-hmm. very open attitude.
Really. In this relation, we are like in dark ages here in Slovenia concerning this, because really this stuff you both do is almost non-existent. So I'm interested, how does media follow this kind of music in Holland? Is there much media support?
No,
unfortunately not, no. Actually, here is more support. I mean, we play now this night in Ljubljana, tomorrow in Maribor, and you are interviewing us, so this is really nice.
That's something, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not used to doing interviews, or
you well, don't get sometimes, invited to, but really rarely.
Yeah.
And I'm often surprised you can even have big projects and big festivals, and the press really doesn't care.
They won't cover it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They just won't cover it.
It's really strange.
It's also an oversaturation, maybe, because there is really a lot happening, and then the press wants to concentrate really on the big names and the really only the biggest festivals, like Holland Festival.
In that way, they're missing the interesting stuff.
Yeah,
I think.
Absolutely, yes. I'm very frustrated about that.
They're missing the yeast, actually, of what's coming now.
Yeah,
that's a
mm-hmm.
shame.
So, if we say a few things on the context of the venues. Today you are playing in a small club here in Metelkovo, tomorrow on a public square in Maribor. So is there a venue you prefer to perform in?
Well, this is something I really like about tours, because from one day to the other you're in a completely different space and you have a different public, and you have to somehow set it up differently to reach the people who will come to your performance in this very special place. Mm-hmm. And so this is a challenge for me, and it's the same challenge if you play in a really big, huge festival. and for maybe, because in a big festival it might be that there might be more older people, and then you play in an underground venue and then you get all the young public, and somehow you have to reach out to them both in a way and find the right program and the right way to play.
Mm-hmm. I think we are running a bit short on time. Sam trenutek, Blaž, a bomo lahko malo podaljšali mogoče? Okay. Mm-hmm. He says we can prolong it for maybe 2 minutes or
okay.
so.
Okay.
And I have a bunch of questions more. So,
okay. We'll make it short.
Yes, you can tell us about these two pieces maybe that you're going to perform tonight. They're both by you.
Yes.
Corrosion and Alias.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Corrosion is, both pieces are audiovisual, you could say. In both pieces I'm using a laser, and in Alias I'm also using moving headlamps in addition. But both I try to use the laser in very different ways in both pieces. In Alias, the piece deals also with some cartoon fragments, so the whole character of the piece is very kind of upbeat, you could say, poppy in colors. And since the origin is inspired by cartoons, I'm trying to bring back the visual element with some graphics in the laser. And in Corrosion, I'm using laser, if you could say, in a more subtle way. So I'm actually reflecting it from different surfaces, which creates very diverse textures. And so the whole piece is it's written for synthesizer, analog synthesizer and laser. It's more about the haptic qualities of sounds as well as of the materials that I'm reflecting the laser from.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about this interest in lights of yours? You I think you're doing a PhD on connection between lights and music.
That's right. I've been interested in this combination for a very long time, and by embarking on this PhD project, I just wanted to give it some more thorough thought. And I try to approach light, you could say, as an additional musical parameter. So when I think about a certain light design, I always start out with also the musical ideas I had about the piece. And for me, it's a kind of inaudible musical voice, mm-hmm. to put it very shortly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. So maybe Barbara, tomorrow you're also performing two extra pieces in Maribor by a younger generation composers. One is Yannis Kerakides.
Yeah, Yannis Kerakides.
And Alexander Schubert.
And Alexander Schubert, yeah.
Can you tell me how you decide which composer you're going to work with?
Yannis Kyriakides I already know for a very long time, and I know him as an excellent composer who is also doing very good.
He also played violin, I think. Or
he played the fiddle. He played the fiddle, yeah, and he traveled a lot with it and has studied folk music, and he's very witty. He's born in Cyprus but grew up in England. He's got the English humor, and he made a piece for me with video with a very, very witty, humorous text about spams. Mm-hmm. And so this is really nice. And the other one, A Weapon of Choice by Alexander Schubert, is also a piece which you shouldn't miss. It's with motion sensors. And Alexander approached me via MySpace, actually. Mm-hmm. And I listened to his music and I liked what he was doing. And then it turned out he lived in Hamburg, and I also lived partly in Hamburg. And then we worked together. And this is a piece with a lot of improvisation, which we worked on together. And an interactive video, and it's splashy, and it's quite a show. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I was talking to my editor briefly the other day about this connection between musicians and composers, and we came to sort of conclusion that, you know, the composer is always the authority. He says, you're going to do it my way, or you can write your own piece or something, but you have a different experience because you work in close relation with composers.
I'm doing a PhD actually on the new role of a performer in contemporary music as an intermediary between instrument, composer and the audience, because I think the creative role of a performer is really very, very, very important, especially in the contemporary music. And I think if a performer and a composer works closely together, then you can have so many surprises and you could have much more interesting pieces for the violin, and it's a sort of mutual inspiration, and then they can use me also to bring the music to the audience, and this is my second creative task. So I think this is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. And Marco, what is your perception on this relation with musicians? You as a composer, do you prefer those musicians who, you know, argue about everything, or do you prefer those who just do what you tell them to do?
I like those best who do what I tell them to do when I ask them to do. But I also like those who give me feedback when I need it. I think that's a very rewarding situation. Mm-hmm. But I also don't, I have to say honestly, I don't like to be in the situation where I have to go and give enormous amounts of liberty to the players. So what I like best is to have a kind of process with the musicians where I can develop something and then make a fixed version in the end.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we really just have time maybe for one or two more questions. Tonight, these two pieces you're going to perform, this is all composed stuff, or do you improvise as well within these two? Or
what I'm doing is composed stuff, and Mark composed it, and then in the process when we worked together we just discussed it and said, okay, is it what is possible, what is not possible, and we just got to the edge of what is still possible to play, strength-wise and virtuosity-wise, and so yeah, that's composed, definitely.
And the other piece is basically as a piece, it's also composed, but there are small liberties in the piece that I can take.
Mm-hmm. So maybe one question for the end. When are you happy with your performance? Or can it happen that you're not happy?
Oh, yes, all the time.
No. I'm happy when I feel that I get feedback from the audience, and that's really rewarding, and that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I just have to feel a connection with the piece that I'm performing when I'm performing it, a connection which feels right. And then if it's there, then I feel good. And sometimes I have the feeling that I haven't really been in touch with the music that I performed, and then I don't feel satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so thank you for the interview.
Thank you very much.
Just so little time. Torej, to je bil intervju z Barbaro Lindeburg in Markom Ciclijanijem, ki jo danes ob 21. o podpori domačega dvojca in korabili lahko slišite in vidite v menzi pri koritu. Intervju sem pripravil Goran, za tehniko pa je skrbel Blaž. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.